Listen, we are all trying to unlock our full potential and maximize our productivity. I want to introduce you guys to Magic Mind, the ultimate brain-boosting solution. This will help transform your daily routine. In a fast-paced world, staying focused and energized can be a real challenge. But with Magic Mind, you'll experience a powerful blend of natural ingredients scientifically designed to enhance your cognitive performance. Picture this. You wake up feeling refreshed, take a sip of Magic Mind, and feel an immediate surge of mental clarity and sustained energy. No jitters, no crashes, just pure focus and productivity to conquer your day. Magic Mind's premium formula combines matcha, adaptogens, nootropics, and essential nutrients to optimize your brain function, improve memory, and boost creativity. It's like having a personal productivity coach in every bottle. But that's not all. Magic Mind is also a stress buster. Say goodbye to those anxious moments and hello to a calmer, more relaxed state of mind. It's the secret weapon successful entrepreneurs, artists, and top performers rely on. So whether you're in the office, hitting the gym, or pursuing your other passions, Magic Mind will help keep you in the zone so you can unlock your true potential. So don't settle for mediocre when greatness is within your reach. Ready to upgrade your mind? Head over to magicmind.com and revolutionize your daily routine. Enter code BUSINESSANDBOURBON for an exclusive discount for Business and Bourbon members. Again, that's magicmind.com, code BUSINESSANDBOURBON. Business and Bourbon. Why the hell did you start a business? Real talk, real people.
What is my value? Because I didn't know it at the time.
Real drinks.
I am not everybody's cup of tea.
We're going to get real, man. This is where you need to be. I'm Ronnell Richards, and this is where leaders come.
You're very open in sharing your story. Why?
We're doing business with human beings.
Like all those questions you would ask yourself if you transition to become an entrepreneur.
No guidelines, no rules. Make it happen. Education, inspiration, and motivation. Man, I can't wait to get into this. Welcome back to Business and Bourbon, where we have real talk with real people. My name is Ronnell Richards. I am your host and the founder of Business and Bourbon. And we are here broadcasting, streaming, however you're watching this, from the Business and Bourbon Lounge in the beautiful Venetian Hotel. We're in our penthouse suite. This is where we are launching season 4 of the Business and Bourbon Show. And I'm just so excited to bring this back to you guys, man, and bring these great leaders in here to have awesome conversation and share their wisdom. So on to today's guest, none other than my good friend. And you guys, for Business and Bourbon fans, you've seen him before. You've seen him before. He joined me at the King and Duke in beautiful Buckhead, Atlanta. And now he is joining me here in Las Vegas, Sander Bean. What's going on, my guy?
Not much, Ronnell. It's great to be here with you, though. I'll tell you what. This is an awesome space. More important, it's about the people, isn't it? I mean, there's just a great group of people in the other room. They're doing whiskey tastings, and we're just having a great time talking about business. Some, but mostly just talking to each other. It's really great to meet everybody.
Well, you know, when you put the right people, and what I write people, I mean people with good alignment, right? Good alignment. They have similar values, maybe similar businesses, those sorts of things. You just allow the magic to happen. You don't have to sit and have a business conversation because we're already all in the same place because we have alignment. So yep. It's just having a conversation to figure out if, hey, I dig this guy or we've got some commonality here, and then the business will come naturally. Would you agree?
Absolutely. And you know, that's kind of what you talk about in the book, but we're not talking about the book today. But
we can always talk about the book. Hey, for the record, you know, talk about shut the hell up and sell. If you don't have your copy of the book, get the book. Yeah, shut the hell up and sell.
Well, we were just talking about it in the other room, and yeah, I mean, I totally agree with you though. You know, it's about the relationships. And you know, I've got a buddy up in Chicago, a guy I worked with when I was very young in sales, and he's, you know, I told him about you. I told him about what you're, you know, with the Shut the Hell Up and Sell book.
Yeah.
And he absolutely loves it because he's somebody who's kind of pushed back a little bit in the newer world that we live in about, like, is it, you know, how does automation work? How does, you know, trying to bang your way into every door you can in order to sell stuff? And the reality is that for most of us, that's not necessary. There's probably some businesses that actually have to get by with that kind of numbers game. But I would say 90% don't. I mean, right. Would you agree with that?
Right. I would.
Yeah.
Especially in the solution selling world that we're in. Like, but the funny thing is, and what I've seen is that people, they're doing those transactional type of business and sales activities. Let me back this up. They're operating like they are in a different environment, like they're in a transactional environment when they're really in a solution type environment, right? Would you agree?
Yeah, I would. And like, I'm about to tell you a horrible story.
I love horrible stories. They're the best.
So about a year ago, we entered into a 3-year agreement with a large company that I'm not going to name here on the air.
Yeah.
That does, pulls lists for you and does automated dialing, automated email, et cetera. And so we went on an odyssey in the first 12 months of trying to make this work for us and create like what you would call a flywheel for our company to get success with sales.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, it just didn't work. Mm-hmm. And I think that doesn't mean that those types of things won't work, but they won't work in many environments. The environment has to be massive.
Yeah.
And you have to have a company that's got a massive spend, a massive marketing, massive brand awareness,
yes,
massive everything to make that kind of thing matter. But the reality is for most of us, for 90% of us who've made a career out of selling, that's just not what's gonna work. And so 2023 has been the greatest year for me because I've had the pleasure of being able to back out of like trying to run a sales organization that's using tools to generate leads and get deals to going back to just talking to people. And it's kind of like going back to your roots. And
tell me about that journey, man, because we've talked about this. And like, you know, as a founder, a lot of times what happens over that arc of your growth is it takes you further and further away from the sales floor. And I know that you experienced that. Tell me about what that felt like and what you've done and where you're at. We're going all in.
So, okay, this is full on therapy session. So
let's go.
Last year was a tough one. Unsuccessful sales team using unsuccessful tools to not succeed.
Yeah.
And I had a partner and I was supposed to be in charge of this train wreck who was basically yelling at me about this on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. And so we got together in December and had a very long conversation in Philadelphia over a cheesesteak in which we exchanged the F word probably 190 times each, right, at each other. But in the end, what came out of it was that I was going to go back into sales. And at first, I felt like it was a put down for me. Like, oh, yeah, well, you got to get back and doing this again, Sander. And I kind of felt like, you know, my partner was pushing me into a corner with this. But the more I thought about it, the more I realized that sales actually brings me joy.
Mm.
I enjoy spending time with people. And so January sucked because try to imagine you're starting out, your funnel is exactly zero. You've got nothing in the funnel at all.
Yeah.
And you've got to go out and just manufacture, you know, getting deals. And so I just got after it. Started calling people, looking through LinkedIn all the time. And I just went back to basics. I still had our SDR like out there fishing around with some intent data to see if we could get, you know, a blind squirrel could find a nut out there. But I just went full on into my network and the people that I've been working with over time. And before you know it, I mean, the funnel was full. No deals were closed, but funnel was full. And in Q1, we almost closed the deal, and that's about as good as it got. But, you know, here we are not too far into Q2. And I just closed a massive deal with a enterprise customer, which was exactly what we intend and want to do.
Nice.
And my relationship with my partner, my business partner, is just awesome right now. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know how you have your relationships, they go through cycles, right? Good, bad, you know, with the spouse, et cetera. And when you're in business with somebody, it's like kind of like being married to them. And right now, our relationship could not be better. And it's because I'm happy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm happy. I'm selling. I'm selling relationally, not through a bunch of tooling that I don't actually understand or know why it should work.
Ooh, so you've kind of shunned the automation the more of some of this automated sales tech or
I don't want to smash it too hard because first of all, we got 2 more years left in the contract.
Got to get some money out of it.
So I
got to
keep trying, right? Yeah. So we take that intent data and we reach out to people. But let me tell you, I mean, like as much as people think AI is going to take over the world, intent data is the same sort of stuff. It's like it's good, but it's definitely not perfect, not at all. And so half the time you're, you know, trying to get intent with somebody who's already intended and then bought, you know, what they needed. So you're chasing after the very worst customer or prospect you can, because these are people who just signed a contract with your competitor. So, you know, but we, you know, we're not going to stop doing it, but we're just not trying to learn much from it. Mm. Just using it in the background, and partially because we got it.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're stuck with it.
Well, okay. So we can kind of, you know, go back and forth on the merits of that service and that technology or whatever. But, you know, one thing I think that I really want to lean into in this conversation is your journey in growing your business. You're in a successful business and growing, starting as the founder, like, you're the sales guy.
Yep.
You're, you know, nothing happens without you making it happen. And so what we typically want to do, or not want to do, what we view as success is getting further away from that. Like,
yep,
get bigger, get further away from that.
You sit in the big office and make the big decisions, whatever that means.
Yeah. what have you learned in kind of doing that and now doing what you're doing right now? Yeah. What have you learned that you might impart to other founders?
And I don't want to be, you know, preachy and with advice, but I will say this to any solopreneur out there. Here's the deal. I mean, you know, our company is not massive, and I'll tell you exactly what it is. We, you know, we have about 15 employees in the United States, 5 in Europe, and you know, we're in the sub 5 million, you know, and I say sub 5 million, like not 1, but closer to 1 than 5 in revenues, okay? Mm-hmm. And that, if you think like, oh, you'll get there someday, and that's the time you'll walk away from sales and you'll be able to get other people to do this stuff for you, guess again. Mm-hmm. Because at that size, and if you're selling, you know, a product that you're gonna, that an enterprise could use, we're not talking about shoes, we're talking about something that's, you know, costs a few thousand a month, you could double that revenue. You could take that company personally to 10 million, I think, without ever hiring a salesperson. And why? 2 things. First of all, it's about the relationships and getting other people in there, the right people wanting to work for you to do that. It's going to be, you know, problematic and difficult, you know, based on your size.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the second thing is, it's possible. It's just, you can bring in that kind of revenue and bring the company to that next level. Especially if you like to sell, there's something called founder's magic.
Mm-hmm.
And a founder is going to be like 10 times, maybe 100 times more successful at selling something to a prospect. If I go in cold to a prospect versus, you know, someone who works for me in sales, I'm going to be 100 times more effective in closing that deal because I'm passionate about it. It's my baby. And mm-hmm. when people are talking to me, it's like, you're the one who started the company? Like, yeah. And let me tell you why I started it. And when people hear that and then you tell them why you started it, they're inclined to, you know, to get on board.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
To your point, I mean, the founder, so founders, small business people out there, listen, you are always going to be the best salesperson for your business. You are always the best salesperson. I don't care what high power or high salary person you go get and pay them a ton of, they're never going to be better at you. The reason they will not be better than you is because the business is you.
Yeah.
Like you've been there the whole time. So, and I think we talked about this, Sander, with the advice that I've given other founders is don't take yourself away from the selling, take yourself away from the front end mechanical part of it.
Yes.
Right. Right, if you can do that, because that's the stuff, you know, like a lot of some of the basic prospecting and database building and all that stuff.
CRM,
like,
whatever,
You know, but never remove yourself from the sales aspect, because again, you're the closer. And we talked about this weeks ago. If you look at some of the largest companies out there, you look at Facebook. Who's the chief salesperson? The chief salesperson is Mark Zuckerberg. When they need to go speak to Congress, yeah, which is a sales thing, yep. When they need to go release a new product, who's talking about him? He's yep. the one that's selling it.
Well, look, and for anybody out there, like I worked for AT&T forever, and when we always have the sales like leadership would come out and they would want to go talk to our customers.
Yeah.
And it was always like, well, why do you want to talk to my customer for? Like, I got this. What are you inspecting on me? No. The higher up in the organization you were, they were just there because they were going to be way more effective at getting the big deals closed.
So that's a good point.
And we work with a company that's a couple billion in revenue. So they're giant, right? It's 1,000 sales reps. And let me tell you, for any like seriously big deal, like the head of sales, and in a lot of cases, the CEO is still like a relationship, driver
yeah.
in those accounts.
Mm-hmm.
And those accounts, that company is very successful. And honestly, I think that's one of the reasons, because at the very top deck, they have not let go of the fact that, you need to have those relationships. And because if that business walks away, and that's the other thing for people, anyone who's in a solo career, a lot of times, especially if you're starting out, you've got one big customer. You got a couple big customers. You can't lose sight of the fact that these relationships are sacred to you.
Yep.
As a matter of fact, they walk away, you might be done.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there you
go.
So
you want to entrust that to someone else.
Yeah.
Like you're the best one for the job.
Yeah.
So that was fun. I enjoyed that. And I think there's a ton of value in that for founders out there struggling with that.
Good.
Because a lot do. Business and Bourbon listeners, are you passionate about craft beer, cider, or spirits? You ever thought about turning that passion into a career or a business? Listen, guys, I am so excited to tell you about South Puget Sound Community College's Craft Beverage Business Management Program. You see, SPSCC's Craft Beverage Business Management Program is designed to provide you with the skills and knowledge you need to succeed in one of the fastest growing sectors in business. So whether you're looking to start your own craft brewery, cidery, or distillery, or you want to work in marketing, sales, or management in the craft beverage industry, SPSCC's Craft Beverage Business Management Program is the perfect choice for you. With a curriculum that includes courses on beverage production, distribution, and marketing, you'll learn the ins and outs of the craft beverage industry from some experienced professionals. Plus, you'll have the opportunity to network with industry leaders and gain valuable hands-on experience through internships and field trips. But check this out. That's not all. With SPSCC's Craft Beverage Business Management Program, you'll also have access to state-of-the-art facilities and equipment, including a beautiful pilot brewery, cidery, and distillery. You'll learn the latest techniques and technologies for brewing, fermenting, and distilling, which will give you a competitive edge in the job market. So whether you're new to the workforce, have experience in the industry, or just looking to scratch that entrepreneurial itch, SPSCC's program could be a great fit for you. SPSCC offers options that are super flexible for education. So if you're passionate about craft beer, cider, or spirits, and want to turn that passion into a career, visit spscc.edu/brewing. Do that today and learn more about SPSCC's Craft Beverage Business Management Program. And by the way, guys, again, this is Sanders' second appearance on this show. That means this is like, if you watch Saturday Night Live, like once you hit like 5, you get a velvet jacket or something. Yep. Sander, you, my friend, get a glass of whiskey.
Thank you. As a matter of fact, I think I just finished it.
Our first two time. So yeah, and your last appearance, which by the way, guys, make sure you go and check out his first appearance with us. You mentioned that you were enjoying a certain artist. Do you remember what artist that was?
Was that Lizzo?
Yes.
So let me tell you something. So the story goes on, right? And so my first of all, after that, I think my daughter for Christmas got me a poster of Lizzo on the front of Rolling Stone,
yeah,
which I have hanging up to the entrance of my home office.
Nice.
So I see it every day. And the other thing is this. So my family's big into Star Wars as well. So we have Disney Plus channel, mm-hmm. and we check out all the spin-off Star Wars stuff. So there's something everyone knows about Baby Yoda, right? Mm-hmm. And the Mandalorian.
His name's Grogu.
His name is Grogu, right? The child or whatever. So we're watching season 3, mm-hmm. and you know we're just sitting there, and you know whatever the they land on the planet and the episode begins, and out walks Jack Black as like the king of the planet.
I love Jack Black.
Yeah,
I really do.
Yeah, he's hilarious. And guess what? The queen then waltzes in. Guess mm-hmm. who's playing the queen?
Who?
Lizzo!
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I said to my wife, that's Lizzo! She's doing a cameo on Mandalorian.
They have a lot of cameos on that show. Wow. Okay, so needless to say, still a Lizzo fan. So for those of you that are fans of the show and listen to Sanders episode, he's still in on Lizzo.
Well, yeah, I'm still in on Lizzo. Now, Taylor Swift came to town.
She did.
And so did Janet Jackson.
And you live in Atlanta.
And we have got a yeah, exactly. Last weekend, we got a trifecta of badasses there. I mean, those women, like, I would not want to meet any of them, let alone all three of them in a dark alley. You'd be dead meat.
I don't, that may be true. But I wanted nothing to do with the city traffic of Atlanta during that weekend.
But you know what? You want to talk about a successful business person? You know, let's talk about no Swift. Taylor Swift, she's owned it. And like, she's just, when somebody, I think one of the producers bought her out for her first three albums.
Yeah.
She said, that's cool. And she went out and she made three new albums and she put a different color, I think, or something like that. You may know the story.
I don't.
But it's something like that. She put out the same exact albums again.
Yeah.
And then went out to her fan base on social media and said, hey, do me a favor. Go out and buy this album. Do not buy the other album with the other color on it. And just like took the guy to the cleaners. And she is the most worthy billionaire. LeBron James, her, and a few others. I mean,
you can't get to that level without business acumen and serious work ethic.
Look, there are so many lessons in business to be learned from those people. You pay attention to what LeBron James, anyone who's just killing it. You look at who the top earners are in any area, whether it's music or et cetera. Mm-hmm. Lizzo's another example. Look, she's not there by accident.
It's more than just talent.
Right? Oh, hell yeah. Yep.
More than talent. And I think sometimes, especially for people in those types of professions, they just chalk it up as talent.
Yeah, she's so wonderful at singing or playing basketball or whatever it might be.
Yeah, no, they're grinding, they're strategic.
So you can have, are you a Falcons fan?
Oh, yes.
Okay, so that who's the...
Yes.
There's a tight end I'm supposed to say. Who came on a couple years ago from Florida. Can't think of his name.
Yeah, Kyle Pitts.
Yeah, Kyle Pitts. So I had an opportunity through a business event to hear that young man speak.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, so his father has coached him to become an NFL player.
Really?
And I'm not talking about like how to play football.
Yeah.
I'm talking about how to be
how to conduct himself.
And you watch after any Falcons game, and I'm sorry for anybody who's listening to this who's not from Atlanta, but you watch after any Falcons game, if he played, they will be getting a soundbite from him in the locker room. And it's because he is media trained. He knows what to say and how to say it after a win, a loss, a draw, right?
Yeah.
You know, he's
but we need
man.
Him to catch more passes.
Well, yeah, and he got hurt and a few other things. But, you know, and I'm not talking about his performance on the field. I'm just saying, like, that young man's going to succeed. And one of the things he said when I heard him interviewed was he talked about learning to play golf. He's like, I'm learning to play golf. And the people are like, yeah, what are you doing that for? And he goes, I suck at it, but I'm learning. And it's not because he loves the game. He realizes, at least in Atlanta, that his belief is that a lot of business is getting done on the golf course, and he wants to be there.
Yeah.
And, like, I might dispute that, but his head's in the right place.
No
right?
doubt.
Yeah.
No doubt. I think there's something to learn from, not just from, people that are new in business, but, like, those of us that have been in it for a long time and think we know, like, you just... talking about him and the golf thing, like, I've been thinking the same thing. I don't golf. I don't. But more and more people in my world are golfing. So I probably should.
And
more.
Look, Kyle's, he's playing NFL football. He's got media training. And what does he do on his day off? He's learning to play golf.
All right. Okay. Shout out to Kyle Pitts, Atlanta Falcons. We went super regional.
Sander, remind these guys what you do.
Yeah, so I work for, I'm the CEO of Ready for Social. I'm also the chief salesperson, as we've already talked about. And what we do is we elevate people's game on LinkedIn, make them look great. We make salespeople look great on LinkedIn. We have a free product for folks who are in the channel. But we also help out businesses if they have a number of salespeople and they need to keep them active, talking professionally and saying the right stuff on social media. Our software enables that to happen, along with the fine people who help write the posts that go out to make those people look professional and their best.
Yeah, what you're doing this next level is really the customization piece.
Yep.
Which I love. All right. So again, Sander's two times. So I'm going to coronate him with his crown or put his jacket.
How
on
about
him
another glass of whiskey?
You know what? Bam. That's what's all right. How can people reach out? How should they reach out to your company?
The awesome thing about having a weird name is just look up Sander Bean. I'm sure my name's going to be someplace on this podcast.
It you'll will. See it.
If you type that in, you won't get far past Sander. You'll find me. Connect with me on LinkedIn. It's really the best way to go. And just ask me anything you want. I am always responding to that. And then, I'll give you my email. My email is just sander@readyforsocial.com, too. But, LinkedIn's really a great way to connect, especially if there's something specific I can help with.
No doubt. So he has experience in this. So we're going to end the show the way we always end the show first. And thanking you, the audience, for hanging out with us. And please, please, if you haven't subscribed, make sure you subscribe. Tell your friends. Give us 7 stars. I know it only goes to 5, but I want 7, damn it. Thanks again, guys, for watching. Here we go. We're going to close it out. You remember how to do this?
No.
That's bad TV. Oh, well. We out. We out on 3? You go for this?
We out? Is that what we say?
Yeah. I don't remember it's that. It's funny. He doesn't remember that. People are watching like, Ronnell, when are you going to prepare people for it? It's so much more fun to not.
Yeah. Because
all right. So we got a we out on 3. You ready?
Yeah.
All right. 1, 2, 3.
We out.
Business in Bourbon was edited and produced by Glass Ripper Media. Hey, if you like this episode, we'd love it if you rated us 5 stars on your favorite audio or video platform. If you didn't like it so much, rewind it, have another drink. I promise you it'll sound better the next time around. Hey, we also love it if you joined us in our community at businessandbourbon.live. Yeah, go to businessandbourbon.live and join our community for free. You'll have access to exclusive content, and you'll know when we're going to be in your neck of the woods for our best-in-class Business and Bourbon live experience. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.